You're listening to Satellite Sisters. Thanks for joining us today. It's our new Satellite Sisters series, Satellite Sisters New to You. I'm Leanne Dolan. I'm here with my sister, Liz Dolan. Liz, explain what new to you is for people who are just experiencing this.
Okay. If new to you is new to you, here's the story of new to you. We have hundreds of shows that many of you have never heard because you've come to Satellite Sisters in the last 2 or 3 or 4 years. I've met some of you that you came to us because of the Outlander recaps, or you discovered us from a Satellite Sister who recommended us just a few years ago. But we have shows going way back, all the back into the previous millennium, frankly. So we thought we wanted you to get a chance to hear some of what you've missed. They may be old shows, but they're new to you, Leanne. That's the concept.
So all spring, that's right. All spring on the weekends, we're going to be posting some of these new to you shows. Liz will be specially curating them, as the kids say these days. So don't worry. We're not just randomly picking these shows. These are excellent shows from our archives, and they are new to you. And we're doing that, Liz, because we have a lot of Satellite Sisters celebrations to get to this spring. We have a lot of things happening on the weekends, and we know you do too. So we weren't going to be able to podcast, but we did want to be able to post some new shows. So this show coming up is an archival show, but it's new to you. And Liz, speaking of Satellite Sisters celebrations, we are celebrating our book, Satellite Sisters, You're the Best, A Celebration of Friendship. It's a great book of essays all about the importance of female friendships in our lives. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll want to pass along the copy of the book to your Satellite Sisters. And we also have a contest happening now called Satellite Sisters Celebrations, right?
Yeah, Satellite Sisters Celebrations is our favorite thing, is to see pictures of you and your friends celebrating friendship. You know, whether you're at a high school reunion or a high school graduation or a baby shower or a wedding or any kind of gathering where you're hanging out with the Satellite Sisters and Misters who mean the most to you. So just take those photos. You can post them to the Satellite Sisters Facebook group or to @SatSisters on Instagram, and just use the hashtag SatSistersYTB, SatSistersYTB. And once a month, April, May, June, we will do a drawing, and one person from the Facebook group and one person from Instagram will win a copy of the book. So we just mainly, it's just a ploy to see your fun photos, because it makes us so happy to see you out celebrating your friendships.
That's right. So this is a Satellite Sisters New to You archival show, and send us those pictures of your Satellite Sisters celebration. And don't forget, call your Satellite Sister.
Hi, this is Julie Dolan.
This is Liz Dolan.
This is Sheila Dolan.
This is Monica Dolan.
This is Leanne Dolan.
You are listening to the Satellite Sisters.
The Satellite Sisters.
The Satellite Sisters podcast.
Not every conversation will change your life, but any conversation
can. Any conversation
can.
But any conversation can. I'm not going to write you a love song, because you asked for it, because you need one. You see, we are the Satellite Sisters, and we are so happy to be here with you today. It is Monday, May 5th. Can you believe it's May?
I can't believe it.
That's a shocker. We are here at the Paley Center for Media in Beverly Hills. Sheila and I. How you doing, Sheila?
I am doing great. Good. I love this 90210 address, and I feel like I'm in the middle of the city.
Yes, know? Yes, we are. There's all sorts of opportunities here that didn't previously exist in Burbank, California. Monica, in the second bedroom in Portland, Oregon. How's that going for you?
I feel like I'm out in the suburbs, Liz. That's the way I like it.
We have a super, super packed Monday show. There's a very special edition of Entertaining Sheila and Entertaining Monica coming up.
Yes, indeed. I brought Monica in today. We have recommendations for you to create your own little film festival at home. Right, Monica?
That's right. Well, I had kind of a mini Martin Scorsese film festival that Sheila had the same thing. So we want to talk about it.
And I rented a couple DVDs and I saw them and I need to tell you about them. And that's it. It's a special after taxes mini film festival. Just relax. And, you know, don't worry about Uncle Sam. It's done.
It's too late now. We also have an edition of Monica's Believe It or Not coming up.
Yes, and my theme this week, I think you'll like it. It's products the lab rats will never test.
Ooh, Monica.
Oh. Kind of a tying a believe it or not and a lab rats all into one.
That sounds great. And our engineer, Kia Renee, is going to play along today. So that's a lot of fun.
Now, Monica, you've had a big week. We heard on Friday's show that Mom was in Texas all week visiting Julie.
Yes. Which... And I happened to have four dinner dates. Well, in Mom's absence. Yeah, Mom was away all week, and I live right down the road from my parents or up the road from them. So while Mom was gone, of course, she wasn't going to leave Dad to fend for himself.
No, that wouldn't happen.
She would never do that. So we arranged. She made a little schedule with a menu, and I had four very enjoyable dinner dates with Dad.
Oh, so what you have?
Well, first of all, a dinner date with Dad, it starts early.
Yes. Right?
We like to get the ball rolling about 5 o'clock.
Yeah,
all right?
That's good. Early bird.
So our protocol was, I'm going to show up at your house at 5 o'clock. Uh-huh. And if something comes up, I said, I'm either going to call you. I said, if I'm not there by 5:30, just go ahead and have dinner on your own. But it was so much fun the first night. It was just very, very relaxing. Mom left what she called her semi-homemade meals. Now, you may have heard her talk. She is a huge fan of the Food Network show that Sandra Lee does. It's called Semi-Homemade.
I have never seen that show.
Well, she admires Sandra Lee. She's a very perky host. And not only does she create meals, she uses a lot of store-bought items and puts things together. Mom likes that. But what she loves about Sandra Lee is Sandra Lee sort of dresses up every week in a different outfit to match the theme of the food she's serving. And she also does tablescaping lists.
Oh.
It's sort of a whole, and she usually creates a specialty cocktail to go with her semi-homemade food.
So it's heavily themed.
Yes. And Mom does just embrace the semi-homemade idea.
Now, did you dress up, Monica? Did you come over in appropriate fleece wear?
Yes. I mean, that's the other thing about dining with Dad. You can go casual.
Yeah.
He doesn't really care. I did shower before I went over. Tried to get myself cleaned up. So we had these semi-homemade dinners that Mom had prepared. And the way I cooked them, they came out more. The other night I said to him, you know what? I think these are really semi-warm, not semi-homemade. But we did the best we could. And Mom also provided a glass of wine came with dinner, which was nice.
It's complimentary?
Yeah. And we just had, he said, I asked him, how are you doing here alone? He goes, fine. It's very quiet. He said, it's amazing how just one other person in the house creates a lot of noise. And he said, it's nice to be here by myself. And we had these very relaxing dinners. We had meatloaf, beef stroganoff, semi-homemade and semi-warmed up the way I made them. Talked about politics, the election, computers. I tried to explain American Idol to him, but he's not a watcher. I tried to catch him up on this season. He didn't seem interested. And the other good thing about having dinner with Dad is, you know, he does cleans up the whole thing.
I know. He's
that really, is his specialty. He does all the dishes, all the pots and pans.
Nice.
He does everything. He's done that for years after dinner. And I don't know if you've seen the way Dad cleans things. It's, I mean, that coffee machine of his, he sterilizes it after each use. It's like you could do surgery in that coffee machine if you needed to be. So we just had a fun time together. It was a nice time just to share some semi-warmed up, semi-homemade meals with
And them. You're out of there by 6 o'clock.
It's all wrapped up by about 6:30. Yeah. And you still get home and watch your favorite shows on TV.
That's right.
You can go have another dinner date if you want on that schedule. Sheila, did you do anything interesting socially this week? Because I had a very exciting lunch date.
Oh, Liz. Who did you lunch with?
Well, the other day I had lunch with not one, not two, not three, not four, but five Nobel laureates in economics.
Liz, what, where, why, how? I mean, this is incredible to me. It doesn't surprise me, but it's always incredible when you show up with these people. Where did you find them?
Well, you know, I'm just on all kinds of mailing lists. I get all kinds of invites to things.
So are Sheila and I, but we don't answer any of the answer any of the invitations that we get on those mailing lists.
Well, there is a think tank here in Santa Monica called...
I missed it.
Called... It's called the Milken Institute, and a friend of mine is actually a fellow there. My friend Betsy, who I know you've met, she's a fellow at the Milken Institute.
Yeah, she's really smart.
And her particular area of expertise is economic development for women. So she was doing a presentation at this huge global conference.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That the Milken Institute does. She was doing a presentation and moderating some panels, and another friend of mine who runs a foundation that has about $60 million to invest in women's economic development programs around the world, she was also there. So I went to kind of see my friends. But then I noticed that the lunchtime session was five Nobel laureates in economics.
Pretty cool.
And I thought, you know, I never took economics. Maybe I can learn something. Maybe I'll just scam my way into the lunch with the five Nobel laureates. I mean, I'm sure you know these guys' names off the top of your heads, but just in case you have not been keeping score
okay,
at home. Here's who was there. Gary Becker was awarded the Nobel in 1992. He's a professor at the University of Chicago. Edmund Phelps, who they all call Ned, by the way. So if you ever bump into him.
That's what I call him.
Call him Ned. Nobel laureate 2006. He's at Columbia University. He runs the Center on Capitalism in Society. Seems like a legit operation. Myron Scholes, Nobel laureate, 1997. He is at Stanford University.
This is an impressive list.
Yeah, it was a pretty good group. And then Mike Spence, A. Michael Spence, he's a Nobel laureate in 2001. You guys may not remember, but Michael Spence has actually been a guest on Satellite Sisters.
What did he? Do you
remember?
Sheila didn't follow
it. It must have been Liz's interview.
No, you might even remember this show. This was like 2002. We did a show where all of our guests were people who had won major prizes. So we talked to that
woman. That's
remember,
right.
Monica, we talked to that woman from Portland who had just won an Oscar.
Best short documentary film best short.
We talked to someone who had won a Pulitzer that year, and we actually talked to A. Michael Spence, who had just won that year's Nobel Prize in Economics.
All right.
So anyway, so I thought, all right, I'll sit in on lunch, learn a few things, see what's going on in the field of economics. And I like to think I can follow along with most things. This was so far over my head.
Really? Liz was stumped?
Not only did I not understand their answers, I could not even understand the questions they were being asked.
Oh, wow.
There were uses of the English language that were just a little too technical for me.
Now you know how I feel, you know, in a normal conversation with you, when I go out with you and you're talking to people. That's how I feel.
Well, yeah, but that's more like real life. But I understand now, because when they spent a long time, Myron Scholes, the one at Stanford, who's like a rock star of economists, if you can imagine such a thing, he had a lengthy explanation of why he feels so strongly about negative convexity. And people were really getting into that, as you can imagine.
Yes. Like, and if I was there, I would have said I'm positive for negative convexity. Can't even say
it. The only thing Sheila has is limited connectivity. Did they discuss that?
Yeah.
Oh. No, Monica, but I was having a little bit of limited connectivity with the conversation, not just because these people...
That sounds scintillating.
Oh, my God. It was so rough.
How was the food?
Yeah, who paid for lunch at the economic summit? What was the economics of all of that?
The food was decent, but you know, there was some... There were like, I don't know, 2,000 people in this ballroom. It was a giant luncheon. But there were two guys at my table who talked through the entire thing. Now, it just seems
That's
to me,
so rude.
You do not have to be Dr. P.M. Forney to know that in this situation, when there are five Nobel laureates up on stage,
absolutely,
and you're sitting in a ballroom and they're trying to tell you whether or not the world is coming to an end, like some of the questions I could understand,
right,
like, are we in a recession? Are we in a depression? Where are we headed? I was kind of curious about that. These guys did not stop talking the entire time. One of them seemed to feel like everything Ned Phelps said, he needed to rebut right at our... Like, every once in a while, I would turn and give them the stink eye. That was not working at all. And then at one point, I just wanted to turn to them and say, excuse me a second, but could you remind me, what is your Nobel Prize in? Because
Liz, but nasty.
But, so I thought about that, but I didn't say that. Do you think that would have been too aggressive?
Yeah. Just, I mean, you could have simply said, could you guys keep it down? I'm trying to listen.
Because
I don't understand anything that's going on. And I got to catch every word.
Well, Liz, good for you for trying.
Yeah, I tried, Monica.
Putting yourself out there and exposing yourself to different economic theories.
If that's what it was, I was fully exposed. They were putting up charts, and then we can move on.
Oh, no, charts?
They were putting up charts where they were meant to indicate something, God knows what, but I couldn't even understand what the X-axis and the Y-axis were meant to indicate.
Limited connectivity.
Don't bring that up.
All of this stuff in between.
Sheila's having flashbacks now.
Backs to ninth grade math.
Anyway,
Liz, good for you, though.
I made an effort, and I don't think I came away with anything. But then I went off to some other sessions where I actually had some idea what they were talking about. One of the sessions was actually about programs for at-risk youth in America, and one of the speakers was Andre Agassi talking about his charter school that he opened in Las Vegas. So I could totally understand what he was talking about. That's good.
That's good stuff.
So I was just out doing my thing, not dinner with Dad, not lunch with Nobel laureates, but I have a feeling you got more out of dinner with Dad than I got out of, like, my lunch with Ned.
Well, the only thing I know about the Milken Center is it's right next to the spa. So that's a...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know what? I think I'll wander into the lobby and check it out.
It's next to Burke Williams in Santa Monica. That's right. They're doing a lot of heavy thinking there. All right. Let's move on. Coming up later on in the show, we have a whole installment of Believe It or Not. And then also, Entertaining Sheila meets Entertaining Monica.
Oh, yeah.
We are the Satellite Sisters. Stay with us. We are the Satellite Sisters. You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go, our podcast. This is Liz. I am here with Sheila and Monica today. And, you know, we love getting your email. So whenever you want to just tell us what's on your mind, go to satellitesisters.com and click on Contact Us. Monica, you had a story you wanted to bring to us about sharing deeply personal information.
That's right, Liz. There was this great story in the New York Times last week, and it was about personal finance. And it raised the question, do you or should you disclose your salary, what you make for a living, with your friends, with strangers, or with coworkers? Hmm. I mean, it always used to be taboo. I mean, and I think older people, and I'm in that group, it's not really polite to discuss how much money you make with your friends. And it's not really smart to do it with your coworkers. But the younger generation, I'm going to say those are people under 35, they don't see it that way. You know, they think it's perfectly fine in the era they live in of transparency and sharing personal information and everything's on your Facebook page. They think it's fine to discuss salary and admit, disclose how much they make for a living.
My daughter is 25, as you know. This is Sheila, and she absolutely tells all of her friends, you know, what she's making. She knows what all of her friends are making, and there's no jealousy or threat or anything. That's just what they do. They're all struggling.
Yeah, that was the point in the story, Sheila. They're all trying to get ahead.
Exactly.
And so they're all trying to move forward in their careers, and if they know how much other people are making, or if you share that information, it may help them to go in when, you know, maybe they want to ask for a raise or look for another job or change careers. It's sort of a we're all in this together.
Right. Yeah, this is Liz. I've always been of two minds about this. I understand why it's private information. You don't want to get competitive with people. It could create jealousy or bitterness. The flip side, though, having been in a workplace and a lot of different big corporations where you know there's probably a pattern of women getting paid less than men for the same kinds of jobs or other kinds of just institutional economic discrimination. I always felt like it would be better for all of us if everybody knew everything.
Wow.
You know, that I think a lot of women don't realize that they are underpaid compared to their male colleagues. And so if we put it out there, you would know that the guy in the next cubicle could be making more than you. And maybe he's not. And that would be good to know, too. But I just think that the more this kind of information is hidden, the easier it is for discrimination to be allowed to go on. And that if we all just cop to what we made, then it's all out in the open and we're going to know what the actual facts are.
And you've been feeling this even before you went to the economic summit, right?
Yeah.
This is something you just knew, right?
Yes. Well, it's something that I always sensed would be better for all of us, but particularly for women in the workplace, if all of the information was above board. But even having said that, that from a, you know, sort of a macro view, it would be good. Would I personally want to tell everyone what I made? Would I? No. But I do want to know what everyone else is making.
Right.
I think that's the conundrum. I would like to know if I am being compensated fairly for what I'm doing, which means I need to know what the people that do the same job as me are making.
Liz,
that would be useful information.
I think that's a valid point, but in my experience, I was bitter and resentful when I learned what my other coworkers were making.
Really?
If they were making more than I was. Yeah, it became like an obsession with me. It would run around in my head every day that, you know, this guy in my department with the same job title, I knew he disclosed to me one day that his salary was bigger than my salary was. But in fairness, I was working at a company that was growing. And in order to attract new employees, I mean, when someone comes into a company and is new, they have to offer them a good salary,
mm-hmm.
especially if they come from another company and they have experience. Whereas I started kind of in the bottom when it was a startup phase. So I knew that I was probably going to be making less money than people that were hired 10 years after I was.
But it's information that you could have done something with if you wanted to. When they find that out, Monica, they switch companies. They realize the best way to make more money is to go work someplace else. And that motivates them to make that kind of a change if it's important to them to make more money.
Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox. Liz, you know we love talking about FrameBridge, don't we?
We do. because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting FrameBridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing. to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already frame bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
Yeah.
And I mean, but that's okay. You know, my situation is worse, Monica. Sometimes, as you know, I don't even know how much I make. I mean, I'll just go have a meeting with like a bank officer. He'll say, so what's your salary? Let me just call my sister Monica, because I know we always make about the same amount of money.
Well, now we work together. We run a company together. So,
I know.
Yes,
I know.
We split the money.
It's confusing.
It is transparent amongst the sisters what our salaries are. I liked it when I was a nurse and I started out in the hospital. I liked that everyone's making the same thing, you know?
Right.
Everyone knows what a graduate nurse's hourly wage is.
Exactly.
You know, whatever it is, $20 an hour. And it's just depending on how long you've been a nurse in the hospital, you move up every year, I don't know, a dollar a year, but it's like no one is making $40,000 a year more than the other nurse. Mm-hmm. You're working alongside that if you each have 10 years of experience. I love that.
Yeah.
No one ever talked about salary.
That's like being a teacher.
I mean, except to complain about it.
Right.
To complain about being underpaid. But no one, there were none of these feelings of resentment like, Sue makes $20,000 a year more than I do. Because it just wasn't possible.
Right. That was very much like working for the Board of Ed in New York, where you had to go, 13 salary steps to get to, the next level. And it was depressing, Monica. It was. But everybody always knew if you were a fifth year teacher, what you were making. It's true.
So what's so interesting about that is that you were both in careers where people are just historically underpaid.
Yes, it is. Yes.
So maybe whatever the dynamics going on within nursing or within teaching are not the model for the way things really should work.
We're just saying that was our experience.
Liz, I had experience at that private company. I mean, I was there for 12 years, and I'm just going to say I never got into salary discussions with coworkers, because it just brought up bitterness and resentment.
Yeah, I don't want to know how much a friend makes. I really don't, and I never tell people what I make.
Yeah, with your friends,
never.
No. Yeah, I don't want that. But with your coworkers, I don't know. There's just something about, I really do believe that kind of knowledge can be power to either encourage you to go get a better job someplace else where you're going to make more, or challenge the management of your own company.
Ask for a raise.
So that people, you can ask for a raise, and women don't do that enough. But if you really knew that like a lot of people in your department were making more than you, maybe that would give you the power to go in and make your case.
Well, not at Satellite Sisters. We're all on the same
page. We're just holding each other down here at Satellite Sisters.
We're all in the same boat, and you saw the picture on Sister Spot.
I think, Monica, that is one of our most popular posts ever at Sister Spot.
People love that, Monica. Thank you.
The picture you put up last week of five sisters in a boat in Central Park, Leon playing Tippy Canoe and Tyler, too.
People magazine. Well, just look at that water in that picture. it's a good thing we didn't fall in. That was nuts. Well, last week we were talking about Sheila announced some of our winners for the most embarrassing mothering moments. And we got a lot of great letters, and I just wanted to share a couple of other letters that we loved and embarrassing mothering moments that we love. Now, Pat wrote us from Florida, and I believe this should go in the believe your kids when they tell you something. She said what her son, Tim, was about 6 years old. They went out to dinner with friends at a casual restaurant. It was like a tiki bar. They ordered drinks. She made sure her young son, Tim, had a healthy drink. She ordered him OJ. She said her son took a sip, started complaining. Mom, this orange juice is yucky. She said he's a picky eater. So she just assured him that it's okay.
She just ignored him.
Keep drinking the orange juice. He said it really tastes bad, Mom. She took a sip, and it was a screwdriver.
Oh.
Her six-year-old was drinking a screwdriver.
Oh.
And she had to admit that maybe she should have listened to her son. So that was from Pat. Then
that
we got
funny.
A lot of stories that were about kids left behind.
Yes.
And this happened in our house. I think our mother left someone out on the front stoop for, I don't know, 6 or 8 hours. An infant who survived, but she just, with all the kids, with all the confusion, forgot to bring the kid in the house.
So you lose track.
We got a lot of funny letters. Now, Debbie in North Carolina said she and her husband, their four children, every week they go to the church for dinner on Wednesday nights. And she said it was a busy Wednesday night. They have four children. They were leaving the church, but she had to stop at Target on the way home. She took one child with her. She assumed her husband took the other kids home. She said they got home. They've been home about an hour. She's putting the kids to bed. She said she's counting one child, two children, three children. They left their son, Andrew, at the church.
Oh, Andrew.
So she said he never realized what happened. She rushed back to the church. She may have broken some speed limits, and that's okay, Debbie. And she found Andrew playing outside at the church. So that was a kid left behind story. Got another funny one from Deb in Minnesota. She had two young sons. She was a single mother. Her sons were going to this big gaming convention in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. So the plan was she was going to drop her sons off and come back and get them. They were 11 and 14, allowed to be alone. They're at the gaming convention. Deb fell asleep. Okay. She fell asleep for a long time. She must have been pretty tired. She woke up 8 hours later. She drove to the convention hall. She said it was like locked down, dark and quiet. Everyone had gone home. She has no sons.
Okay? Oh, boy.
So she drove around. She tried to check all the entrance doors. She finally went inside and found a security guard. And they had, I guess, like a police station set up in there. And she went in, and her two sons were sitting in the police station.
Oh.
She said she was very red-faced. She thanked them. They returned to the motel. Mm. She said it was just a really low moment for her as a mother.
But she needed a screwdriver at that point.
But she said they both turned out great. One of her sons has a master's in environmental studies. The other's gainfully employed. He's going to be a graphic designer. So she said that all is well.
You know, that happened in most letters. You know, these terrible things happen, and all mothers ended their letters, Monica, with, but they're doing fine. They really are.
Yes, so everybody survives most of these things.
Right.
And then this one I love. There were a lot of bad things that happened in line at the grocery store.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
We got
That's probably letters. One of the biggest categories.
But this one I love from Jane in New Hampshire. She had her 15-year-old niece with her, and she came down to help right after Jane had given birth to her son. This is in 1997. They went food shopping. So she has her 2-year-old daughter and the 2-week-old son. But the 2-week-old son, the infant, is being held by the niece. So the checkout lady says to her, "You must be the proud Grammy." The proud grandmother.
Ouch.
And she said she burst into tears.
Oh. Of course she did.
Oh.
Yeah.
Then she said a couple of years ago, she was in line with the same cashier and she was retiring. And she said to her, "You know, today's my last day, but I owe you an apology for calling you Grammy when you were actually the mother." She said, "I guess it bothered her for all those years, too."
She must have really cried if that cashier remembered it all those years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can imagine what you look like. You're a new mother. Yeah. You got an infant.
Right.
You got a toddler.
Right.
You're a mess.
Your hormones.
Emotional.
You're close to 40. You just don't need someone calling you Grammy.
No.
In life.
All right. So those are the honorable mentions for last week. But Sheila, there's still time to enter this week, right? You're awarding more prizes at the end of this week.
Yes, we are. Two more gift baskets from Oregon Chai. Go to satellitesisters.com and write us an email. Send us all your contact information. That means address and phone number. Keep it to 150 words, and maybe you'll be a winner.
All right. There was one new product that I saw this week that I wanted to get your opinion on, you two, because it particularly Sheila, when I read this, I thought – this might be something that would be good for you, given your, I don't know,
situation,
bunion issues.
Oh.
It's a shoe product.
Oh, I've been having some flare-ups.
Yes. Oh, you have?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Don't tell me about them. But Monica, last weekend when Sheila and I were at the ultra fashionable book party for Kathy Freston at Arianna Huffington's house.
Was she wearing Crocs, Sheila?
No.
But Sheila and I were dressed alike, as the photo posted in the blog showed.
Somehow, a very nice spring chartreuse
yes,
color.
Yes, we were both sporting the chartreuse.
It is an unusual color, so it's doubly unusual that you're both dressed in the same color.
I know. There was a moment where I almost went back in and changed.
Yeah, Liz, I could tell you were going to do that.
But I really had nothing decent to change into. So it was only a moment. But we also both had on little flat gold shoes, which it was just like we really had tried to coordinate what we were wearing. But then as we're standing at this party in Arianna Huffington's garden, kind of gawking at the other people, Sheila notices that the woman standing on the other side of me has on the exact same pair of shoes that you had on.
Right, but did you notice her feet?
No.
Oh, they were bad. They were much worse than me, because we both bought the shoes at the therapeutic shoe shop.
The Bunions
on Montana.
Is,
you know,
yes.
With the Y.
It is like Bunions R Us.
No, but and there's,
in the evening shoe department?
In the evening shoe with the wide footbed, you know, and the cushiony sole. But her feet were popping out all over the place. I mean, I didn't want to say anything. I thought I was bad. Yeah, go on.
Anyway, so I thought of you when I saw this. You know, that newsletter, Daily Candy, comes out every day. It's an e-newsletter.
Right.
And it sort of tells you about things going on in the fashion beauty world. So the headline the other day was Karma Chameleon. And it was all about a new product called Chameleon Convertible High Heels. So these are shoes that can be just 1.5 inches tall. Look, I have a picture here for you to see.
Oh, I see them with the little kitten heel.
It comes with a little kitten heel, but then there's a bigger heel. There's a 3.25-inch heel that you can put on over the kitten heel. So on days when you're feeling like you might be able to handle a higher shoe, like
you
say you had the bunions under control if you were having a good day. So they convert from kitten heels to high heels.
I see what you're saying, but Liz, I think those days are over. The pressure of me going any higher on the footbed, I mean, I'm telling you, Liz, I suffer with something like that. So, but thank you. It is interesting.
So you're never going to go higher than the kitten heel.
No.
That's it for you.
Only
That's...
for the Gracies. I told you. I got the vintage
brilliant.
Anne Klein. And you're going to be hearing about my feet that night, believe me. But Liam said it's only one night.
No,
oh,
well,
it's going to be
been
bad.
Been hearing about since last year.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank Pros for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from Pros is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that Pros hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, Pros is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, Pros, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing.
It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Liam's. Okay? And I'm using it. Pros isn't just better for you, it's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon neutral custom beauty brand. So pros, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leon and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E. Pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros. Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo, you can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, Liz, your youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria Seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
Here to recover from every Gracie's Award. Why do I do that to myself?
I love the convertible shoe idea.
Leah, no. I mean, Monica, that would be good.
It is
for
kind
you.
Of a good idea, don't
you? Yeah, because even in the same night to wear two different heels, you could start out with a high heel, and then when your feet are killing
you.
Oh,
that's a good idea.
That's a really good
and
idea.
And instead of slipping off your shoes and
exposing
like
your feet,
hayseed walking home there, you could just take off the higher heel and have your kitten heel.
Okay, well, this is
heel
chameleonheels.com, and Camille is like the name Camille. It's CamilleOnHeels.com. So check it out if you're interested in convertible shoes. Why not? Just thought I'd throw it out there.
You,
a little
Liz.
Show and tell here at Satellite Sisters. We are going to move on. Coming up next, it is Monica's Believe It or Not. Tell us what your theme is again, Monica.
Products the lab rats will never test.
Okay. All right. We are the Satellite Sisters. Stay with us. Sisters, you know what that means. It is time for Monica Dolan's Believe It or Not news quiz. Monica, take it away.
Let's launch into it. This is the time in the show when I try to stump you by presenting three news stories, Two of the stories are true. One is made up. Try to guess which headline is bogus. Now, each week I choose a theme. Mm-hmm. And this week's theme, because Sheila's with us, but it'd be fun to do products the lab rats will never test.
All right.
Okay, products the lab rats will never test. Also joining us, our engineer, Kia Renee. Kia, you going to jump in on Believe
Absolutely.
It or Not?
Absolutely. I'm okay. Really curious about
it. Let's get started with story number one or product number one. It's called, well, I'm calling it Sexy Time Patch.
Sexy Time Patch?
Is that all one word?
It's Sexy Time Patch. Okay. Now, it's Sensuelle's Libido Patch. It's a clear wrist patch worn on the inside of your wrist. Just like I said, wrist patch, inside your wrist. It's infused with aromatherapy oils that are released during the day that are supposed to increase your sexual thoughts and feelings.
Okay.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Can I stop? Stop right there, because the lab rats will not be sharing our sexual thoughts and feelings.
You're
with
right,
you.
Monica. You're absolutely right.
Right off the bat. Yes. It's a family show.
Please don't.
Sexy rats.
Now, the instructions state that you're supposed to apply a new patch every day, and then you periodically sniff it during the day.
I could see rats doing that.
Again, you know how I feel about sniffing scents, Liz.
Oh,
it's bad for
right.
me.
Right, you have allergies.
Uh-huh. Now, Sensuelle claims that the libido-enhancing effects are cumulative, and they sort of build up.
Wow.
Over.
If you need extra help, can you put patches all over your body?
Spots you can sniff.
Build up over 3 to 4 weeks, and then I can just see how.
At the end of the month.
Sex machine. Wow.
The rats are on the run there.
Wow. So story number one is the Sexy Time Patch. Mm-hmm. We're playing Believe It or Not. Try to guess which two stories are true, which is bogus. This week, the lab rats rejects. Now, story number two, product number two, is the seaweed shirt.
Shirt. Okay.
This is a T-shirt made by the Italian firm called Adea. Now, it's a blend of cotton and seaweed, which is infused with vitamins and minerals such as vitamin A and E.
Huh.
Wearing the shirt for 12 to 14 hours a day.
Will
already
do what?
The little rat doesn't want to do that. Promotes skin renewal and will make your skin softer and firmer. So it's a T-shirt and a skin treatment. Now, the lab rats will not be testing this because, A, I'm sure it's a crock. And we have some standards that lab rats don't. We
yeah,
feel
Monica, like. I mean, I know right off the bat that is a crock.
They're low, but it's a crock. And secondly, it's way over our lab rat's production budget, which is approximately $15 a week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's made in Italy. It has seaweed in it. No way.
The basic seaweed shirt, Sheila, it's $86 plus shipping and handling.
That is ridiculous. Okay.
Okay. So story number two is the seaweed shirt. Our last story, a product the lab rats will not be testing. This story is called Not Tasting This. It's unlikely that the lab rats will ever have a hot sauce taste off. And if we do, we are positively not ingesting the Galloping Hell chili products made in Mesa, Arizona.
Ooh, okay? That sounds scary.
The GH, I'll just call them hot sauce. It's a blend of habanero and Naga Jolokia chilies.
And seaweed infused with libido enhancers.
That's what you want your chili to do for you.
Ooh, hot mama.
Really hot, yeah.
Ooh, I'm going to take off my vest. Oh, it's getting hot in here.
The Galloping Hell chili sauce, it delivers what they promise, 400,000 Scoville units of heat per shake.
Oh, God.
And it will
it's
have...
a shake?
Yeah.
Okay.
And per shake. And the hot sauce.
Oh,
and
I see.
It will have you rootin' and tootin'.
Oh.
It's their tagline. Now, the most this rat can handle is like 12 Scoville units of heat.
Yeah,
okay?
We cannot.
I mean, anything like just above a green-belled heifer is too much for me.
Right, Monica.
And I'm just not sure Sheila will be able to report back on the rootin' tootin' properties of this hot sauce.
Right, because I'm scared of horses.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. So story number three is not tasting this. So here are three products that the lab rats will never test. Is it the sexy time patch, the seaweed shirt, or the not tasting this, or the galloping hell chili sauce?
Wow.
Who These wants are all to go so first? Good because they all sound so ridiculous. I mean, you know, you can't believe any of them. That's the problem. But Monica, I'm going to go with the seaweed shirt. I mean, it just doesn't seem right. I don't know who would buy it. This seems made up. You wrote it brilliantly. I think you wrote it. Very good. A Daya shirt. That's my choice.
All right. Kia, which one do you think Monica made up?
I'm going to also go with the seaweed shirt. I mean, knowing Sheila and all of her phobias, I don't think she could even put the thing on.
Right.
I wouldn't either, so I couldn't even support you in that.
Thank you, Kia.
So I'm going to go with the seaweed shirt also.
This is Liz. I think the seaweed shirt sounds real. And personally, I could imagine, like, what if you wore it to bed at night and you woke up and your skin was all soft and good? I believe that someone might have thought that that would be a good idea. I believe in the hot sauce. That just seems like something that somebody is working on out there. The sexy time patch. That it's aromatherapy that builds up for a month. Wow. That just seems like a really long time to wait for the effects of sexy time to kick in.
When the time is right.
Yeah, you can find yourself in those side-by-side bathtubs, and you can't wait till the end of the month. So I think, Monica, that you made up the sexy time patch.
Okay, here is the truth. The sexy time patch does exist.
Oh!
And not only are you supposed to wear it for a month and periodically sniff it, you're supposed to start stroking yourself during the day.
Oh, yeah. Hello.
Okay, well, that's cheating.
That's the part that works. I'm sorry. Not the patch. Not the patch, baby. Not the patch.
Oh, sexy time patch. All right. And you can get a big box of them.
I'm sure you can.
I think it's sensuels.com if you're interested. Liz, I think you are the only person that could afford the seaweed shirt. So why don't you go ahead and buy one, because that is a real product.
Oh, my gosh, Monica.
That is
you stumped us all.
MyAdea.com. I made up the Rootin' Tootin' Galloping Hell hot sauce because Sheila and I can't go near anything that's hot.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And you just wanted to say habanero. Oh, that's great, Monica.
I wanted to say Rootin' Tootin'.
Yeah, which end are you rootin' and tootin' from?
All right. I mean, there are a lot of products out there that the lab rats are unable to test, but those are three.
That's fine.
All right, Monica. Excellent, believe it or not. That is, you really stumped us all. That's a good one, Kia. It's always nice to have you play along.
Thanks,
you know, people do send an email to Monica that says, hey, Monica, here's a little story for Believe It or Not. This is just for you. I just want to say, we all read the mail. So
yes, that's right. That's
not
right.
Necessarily getting
it. But you're
to
not
Monica.
Supposed to read those.
I know. I don't always read all of those, but sometimes I'm just, I don't know, my competitive instincts kick in and I'm reading them.
If you've used the sexy time patch, write us. I'd like to. Or the seaweed shirt.
I'm a believer in the seaweed shirt. All right. We're the Satellite Sisters. Going to take a little break here. And then when we come back, a very unusual edition of Entertaining Sheila and Entertaining Monica.
Listening to Satellite Sisters to Go. Lee and Liz and Sheila here. And Liz and Sheila, exciting news. The Satellite Sisters book club is back.
Yes,
oh,
Leanne, good work.
Thank you.
Where's it been?
Well, it was on a little bit of a hiatus while we got our act together.
Oh, right.
But our act is together. And so we are relaunching the Satellite Sisters book club in May with Cokie Roberts' new book, Ladies of Liberty.
Good choice.
I'm so excited about reading that.
Well, we talked to her about Founding Mothers, her prior book, which was a historical look at the women of the Revolution. And remember at the time she said, wait till you read my next book about Dolly Madison and her people. Okay? Well, it's here now.
That's
her
right. She was already working on it then.
She said, you are going to love Dolly Madison. And we said, well, we love those pastries. I mean, come on.
You know what's so great about this is all the stuff we never learned in American history. right? It's like the makeup class, because they didn't really talk about women back in the day when we were in school.
Exactly. It was just founding fathers, founding fathers. I mean, haven't you heard enough about John Adams? Is it just me? So we're looking forward to talking to Cokie Roberts at the end of the month. The book is Ladies of Liberty. For more information, you can go to satellitesisters.com, but read the book along with us and then enjoy the conversation with Cokie Roberts, that much more. The Satellite Sisters Book Club, back in May. Check it out at satellitesisters.com.
A double feature. I'm a rock and roller. She's a science teacher. I send her looks. They don't reach her. She does not know I'm in love with her. La la la, I'm in love with the four-eyed girl.
This is Entertaining Sheila, and I am here with my sisters Liz and my special partner today, Monica, for a special installment of Movie News. Right, Monica?
That's right.
Now, Monica and I have prepared for you an after-taxes film festival for people who owe. Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, if you're feeling bad about how much money you owe, Liz, I want you to sit back, relax, rent some of these movies, and just forget all about Uncle Sam. Yeah, that's right. Even though Monica and I haven't done our taxes yet, right, Monica?
It is ironic that we are presenting the After Taxes Film Festival and we haven't filed yet.
Well, that's because we have been watching DVDs, all right? So what we have for you today are three rentals and a feature that's out now for you to indulge, relax, forget about Uncle Sam. I'm going to be bringing you Ira and Abby from Jennifer Westfeldt, who wrote Kissing Jessica Stein.
Oh, I liked that movie.
I did, too. It was very charming. It had a very, like, Woody Allen sort of charm to it.
And old Woody.
Well, she's a great writer, Jennifer Westfeldt.
I remember that in Kissing and Jessica Stein, that moment when they're in the cab together and Jessica meets, I think her girlfriend's name is Helen.
That's right. And so, I mean, it was billed as a semi-racy movie, but it wasn't at all. But it was about a woman, you know, getting together with another woman. It was just very endearing, though. Go ahead, Monica.
Yeah, very charming. But that opening conversation they had was about lipsticks. And I remember the girlfriend saying, you're never going to get this color out of a tube. You have to blend like four different brands of lipsticks. I mean, one was MAC Viva Glam.
That's
and then
right.
She had something else. Oh, Prescriptive's Poodle.
Monica.
The other color
you
that
remember.
Went on top of it.
Wow, that scene must have made a real impact on
it was
you.
I was trying to write down, of course, I don't even wear lipstick, but it was a very charming scene and a charming movie.
It was. So that's Ira and Abby coming up. Also, Lady Chatterley, the R-rated version, which won several awards. I rented that. And
well,
so
sexy
that's,
time patch.
Yeah, sexy time patch. Now, it was an R-rated version. I got that at my Blockbuster.
Sheila, is there an NC-17 rated?
You know, my Blockbuster is pretty tame, so I don't know. But it had enough for me in it, believe me. I didn't need any more. And then Monica and I both saw the new movie, Shine a Light. It's a luminous documentary by Martin Scorsese about the Rolling Stones. And then Monica went on a desperate search right after that to rent The Last Waltz, which is considered the greatest concert film ever made. Right, Monica?
I was on a mission. I mean, I was going to see The Last Waltz. This was the night after Shine a Light. I was going to see The Last Waltz if it killed me. If I had to go to like 10 video stores, sign up for memberships all over town. It was like I had to see it because the band is one of my like top five all-time favorite bands.
Right.
And I don't even remember seeing that movie the first time.
Oh, okay. So you definitely
need to see it. So I just felt like, I felt like it would be a good bookend to the Shine a Light movie.
Okay, good. Well, first up, Ira and Abby, if you haven't seen it, you can rent it in your Blockbuster. Well, this is a smart, crackling script. I absolutely love this. It has two terrific stars. We have Chris Messina as the cute, neurotic son of two shrinks. And then we have Jennifer Westfeldt as Abby. She's a lovable underachiever who convinces Ira to be a part of her life the day she meets them. But what really makes this film shine, Liz, are the co-stars. Oh, they are so great. We have the in-laws. Judith Light as Ira's uptight mother. Mm-hmm. She's absolutely fantastic. Robert Klein as sort of his deadbeat dad. Don't
you
love Robert Klein?
Yeah, he's always funny.
And then it has Fred Willard and Frances Conroy, one of my favorite actresses from 6 Feet Under, as the wacky parents of Abby.
Fred Willard makes me laugh just to look at him. He doesn't even have to say anything, right, and I laugh at Fred Willard.
Right, and it's a wild ride. It's entertaining. It has some shifts midway, but stay with it. I really enjoyed this movie. On a scale of 1 to 5 sisters, I'm giving it 3 charming sisters for Ira and Abby. So that's a DVD rental.
Oh, I've never even heard of it. Okay, I'm putting that on my list.
Good list. All right, next up.
Sheila and I were having a video chat, an iChat, and Sheila came to the screen. She just held up the DVD cover. She said, you have to rent this, Ira and Abby.
I know. It's rare that you find a little film that means so much, but that's one of those films. Okay, speaking of meaning a lot, Lady Chatterley. That's right, based on this famous D.H. Lawrence novel. And this is French, and it's gorgeous, and it's sort of a je ne sais quoi. It is an unembarrassed and very frank look at one woman's sexual journey. Yes, it is. And Marina Hans, who got winner for Best Actress at the Tribeca Film Festival, she was also in The Diving Bell and The Butterfly. She is amazing as sort of the lonely lady of the house who takes up with the strong and silent gamekeeper on the property. Yes. And his name is Jean-Louis Coluche.
And that's the actor's name?
Yes.
That's helpful. Thank you.
And basically what happens, all that happens is that she, you know, she leaves the big house every day after she discovers this guy in his cabin in the woods. She walks for a long time, and then she gets together with him. That's sort of the daily routine. But each time, if you know what I mean, it's different. All right? It's just extremely enjoyable. Oh, my gosh. I mean, after taxes, let yourself go, Peter. Lady Chatterley, 4 sensuous sisters.
4? Wow.
Yes, for that. Okay, so that's on your list now, too, I hope. Next is Shine a Light. It's in theaters now. It's a full-length 2-hour documentary about the Rolling Stones, a concert that they gave at the Beacon Theater for Bill Clinton, right, Monica?
Yes.
Whoever you are.
Yeah, it was someone's birthday, someone related to Bill Clinton. It was that was a little odd, I thought.
It was a celebrity concert. Yeah, yeah, we don't need that. But basically, I thought this was a wild ride. Do you know why I liked it so much? Because I've never been to a Rolling Stones concert. And I always thought, like, why do you need to see the Rolling Stones? It's all the same songs. You know what? Now I know why you need to see them.
Well, first of all, the songs are unbelievable.
They're incredible.
I mean, when you hear their songbook, when you hear Jumping Jack Flash, and you hear Brown Sugar, and you hear Some Girls, it's incredible.
Mick Jagger is nonstop on the stage during this film. What I personally loved about it so much is that Martin Scorsese took some of the best cinematographers in the world, including Ellen Kouros, who's one of the only women cinematographers in Hollywood. She made the Neil Young movie. She's very wonderful. Richard Deakins is one of the cinematographers. He was the he won the Oscar for Let There Will Be Blood. So, but my favorite part of all were the guests. Christina Aguilera with Mick Jagger was unbelievable, Monica.
I know you love her.
Oh, I love her. I don't know why. I love her. She's like my alter ego. I wish I could do that, whatever she does.
I thought Madonna was your alter ego.
No, well, she is too.
The younger version of your alter ego.
Monica, what were your favorite parts?
Well, first of all, it was just a very joyful movie.
It was.
That was the way I would describe it. Just the light in the movie. It was sort of this yellowish light that had a lot of energy. And it was just this joyful movie. It made you want to get up and dance, which several people in the movie theater I was in did.
Oh, really?
Even though it was practically empty, they treated it like a Rolling Stone concert.
That's good.
And I was like, go ahead, man, go for it. I'll have to tell you, though, I had no idea about Jack White.
Well,
whoa!
Can we talk about Jack White from the White Stripes?
Oh, he's a sex machine.
He
comes out to sing a duet with Mick Jagger called Loving Cup.
Oh,
worth the price of admission.
Yes, really?
I almost passed out in the seat. I just have never seen Jack White in IMAX before. Right. Oh, it was really, really fun to see.
Really?
And I'll have to tell you.
Better than a sex patch, right?
if you love Keith Richards, just for his Keith Richardness, you will be smitten by the end of this film.
You really will.
He is so charming in the movie.
Now, I found absolutely nothing wrong with it except for the fact that it was about two songs too long. What did you think?
I was thinking the same thing.
Oh, Monica.
I just went a little bit over.
Yeah, Marty, Marty is obsessed.
Marty went insane. Marty's like, every song they sing is good. We got to get them all on there. I loved Marty in the movie, though. There is like a touch of Marty in the beginning of the movie and the end.
He's very entertaining. Now, if you had to give it sisters, Monica, how many sisters would you give it?
If you are a Rolling Stones lover, I give it four sisters.
Okay.
And if you are not a big Rolling Stones fan, I'd probably give it three sisters.
All right. Now, I give it four sisters. I'm not a big, you know, I haven't seen them in concert, but this concert convinced me. So average that out, four sisters.
Okay.
All right. Lastly, let's go to The Last Waltz, Martin Scorsese's film about the band. And Monica, why you rented it? How was it?
Oh, it's unbelievable. Yeah, I don't know if I had ever seen this movie. I don't know how I could not have, because all my favorite musicians are in it. The band, first of all.
Yes, Robbie Robertson talked about your sexy patch rock guy, you know, love guy up on stage.
About,
I love Robbie
how
Robertson.
How about Rick Danko and Levon Helms?
Yeah,
I mean,
no,
when
Levon.
Is the last time you saw the drummer be the lead singer?
Yeah, that was really revolutionary when he did that. And the guest singers in that concert. Oh, my gosh. Everyone.
Well, the Staple Singers, Neil Young comes out and does Helpless. Van Morrison, Unhooked, sings Carnival. It's like insane.
Yes.
Bob Dylan, Forever Young. Joni Mitchell, our favorite, sings Coyote. And just all what I loved about the movie is, well, I don't know if this is going to give it away, but it starts out and the first song they sing is their encore. So it starts out with, like, you're going to see the last song the band ever played together.
Yeah, that
right,
is.
That's why it's called The Last Waltz, right? This
that's
was
the
their
point
last
of the movie.
Performance together.
I know that.
No, I know. But, yeah.
I'm just saying it's unusual that Mamadi chose to start out with their last song. So it's very poignant.
It's very dramatic.
Yeah. Very beautiful movie. Oh, I give that. Five sisters.
Six
sisters.
I give it eight. Average out to seven. All
you
right.
Know, this is Liz. The first time I ever saw The Last Waltz, I was in college. It was like exam week or study week before exam week. And, you know, you just study all day getting ready for your exams. And I just couldn't study all night, too. So I went to see The Last Waltz one night because I just needed to take a break from the library. The next night, I did the exact same thing. I went back. I just saw the movie again, two nights in a row.
Oh, Liz, you just reminded me. I need to see it once more before I return it to the store.
Yeah, definitely.
It's and that good. You could just watch that movie over and over and over again.
I think I need to see Lady Chatterley again before I return it. That's a good idea. Okay, there you have it. The After Taxes Film Festival, first annual from Monica and Sheila. Enjoy it in the privacy of your own home. Cozy Zone, with or without snacks, Lady Chatterley, Ira and Abby, The Last Waltz, and Shine a Light.
All right. Nice report, sisters, entertaining Sheila and entertaining Monica. We're going to wrap it up now, but on Wednesday's show, man, another action-packed show coming up for you in 2 days. Cozy Couch?
Yes, indeed.
Are you getting ready for the Cozy Couch?
Smart new ways to use baby powder.
We're going to have the lab rats on Wednesday. Monica, what are the lab rats testing this week?
Condiments. Mayonnaise.
Mayo.
I thought you were going to say something else.
No. I just stop thinking about the patch.
And then also on Wednesday, Leanne will be back. We're going to hear her story of going to a Korean day spa. Sheila, she's heard you talk about it so much.
I can't wait.
That she finally decided to try it herself.
Leanne,
So we're going to get point, counterpoint. Leanne goes to the Korean day spa and compares it to Sheila's experience. We are the Satellite Sisters. See you in a couple of days, sisters. And don't forget, call your Satellite Sister.